Eastwood Show without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and Rush 89 FM Hamilton. Christmas is over, New Year's is on our way. There seems to be an awful lot of wonderful things that we could possibly be doing, partaying and whatnot. And let's hope people spare a thought to the millions of Americans who are freezing their gonads off in the worst blizzard that, you know, a lot of people have seen for quite some time. Speaking of which, we've got a little bit of info here in from the New Zealand Herald regarding Helen Clark, our former Prime Minister and the current third highest at the United Nazis. Former Prime Minister Helen Clark has had some, shall we say, some WikiLeaks distributed about her. This is her US image in New Zealand has been damaged by the leaks. And I'm pretty sure nobody's even heard of this. Former Prime Minister Helen Clark believes the effort the United States has put into improving its relationship with New Zealand in the last few years has been damaged by the eyes of ordinary New Zealanders because the WikiLeaks cable showed disrespect for New Zealand's independent foreign policy. Our foreign policy is so independent, of course, that when China assaults members of parliament on parliament grounds, that parliamentarian gets a reprimand and China gets nothing. Our foreign policy is so independent that when executives from Warner Brothers come over and say we need to change our labour laws to make people into contractors to whip away all of their employee rights, they get changed in a day. Our policy is so independent that when the United States says you need to sign this big F-off free trade deal so that we can scam your entire country and destroy your nation hand over fist, it doesn't receive much play to the bad things in those trade deals, which are virtually the only thing that is in those trade deals. That's right. New Zealand is about as independent as the Dalai Lama, who incidentally been told by the Chinese government, our Prime Minister John Key was ordered to not have any contact with him. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't care about the Dalai Lama whatsoever. What I do care about, though, is foreign nations being able to tell us what we do, as I've just demonstrated that we clearly do all the time. Oh, I love mainstream media. They really, really, really don't get it. No idea of geopolitics, no idea of freedom. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will. And we'll be right back after the break.
Thank you.
And we're back. Back live on the Funny Eastwood Show without Will on American Freedom Radio, Rush 89 FM in Hamilton, and the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to say, it's quite fun being a radio show host because, you know, let's face it, I'm a very opinionated scumbag. Now, right, speaking of scumbags, from New Zealand Herald, Russian oil tycoon again found guilty. Mikhail Khodorkovsky has been convicted of stealing oil from his own company and laundering the proceeds. A verdict likely to keep the oil tycoon who once challenged the power of Vladimir Putin behind bars for several more years. The unrelenting legal attack on Khodorkovsky, once Russia's richest man, has come to define the country's transformation under Putin. The outcome of the second trial exposes how little has changed under President Dmitry Medvedev, despite his promises to strengthen the rule of law and make courts an independent branch of government. Hey, well, that's not a surprise really much, is it? A president promises something, then doesn't deliver? Anybody? Oh, we can all relate to that one. Oh, that's funny, man. No, seriously, it's quite rare when extremely wealthy people actually go to court, let alone go to jail. But when it does happen, oh, mate, I just am absolutely thrilled. But the biggest ones don't go to jail, of course. Or ever go to court. You know, I mean, imagine if you did actually charge people, send them to court for crimes that they've committed. Imagine what would happen to Dick Cheney. Sorry, Dick, we're going to have to put you in jail. Here's your clamping irons. Here's your 6x10 cell. Oh, that would be sweet. Especially if we could, like, poke him with a stick through the bars, you know. but he won't, because Halliburton, in fact, the Somali government, I believe, was trying to indict him for war crimes or something like that, and Halliburton gave them $500 million to not. Oh, the brilliant corruption, you know. And it just goes to show you that there's corruption absolutely everywhere, and you just can't escape it. How can you not? It's so unbelievably huge that the mind reels. There's more corruption than I'd say, in fact, goodness knows. Maybe the good people are actually the majority, but they just don't act very bigly corrupt, if that's even a word. You know, I mean, the average person who is driven to desperation or something like that, what are they going to do? Steal a couple of bags of corn chips or something like that at the local dairy, and then the police swoop down on them and they go, "All right, boy, we're going to smack you up good. I'm going to throw you into the jails and then we're going to beat the heck out of you with phone books." However, somebody collapses the entire country's economy and destroys tens of thousands of jobs and ruthlessly sells out the entire nation to the diktat of international corporations and foreign powers. Nah, we'll make him prime minister. Because it shows that he can be trusted to do the job. And I've always said, let's face facts here, whatever government official you are talking about, their job description is the direct opposite of what their job description is, all right? Prime Minister, supposed to lead the country into clear waters, so obviously his job must be to crash that puppy into an iceberg and watch it sink with all the men, women and children on board. Justice Minister, job is to make sure that nobody gets any freaking justice. And I was like, that's about right, isn't it? And you have a look at our Justice Minister, what was her name? Crusher Collins. As she's been affectionately dubbed by Bomber Bradbury. The big Hulk, the Incredible Hulk of a politician woman. Very, very, very strong jaw. In fact, you've got a stronger jaw than I do. My goodness, I wouldn't want to get into a boxing ring with her. She'd freaking kill me, and I'm 6'4". Speaking of attractive risks, soaring oil prices make New Zealand an attractive risk. With oil heading for $100 a barrel, a London analyst for the Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, which John Key was the head of derivatives for 2 years, says petroleum explorers are now likely to be attracted to New Zealand waters. More frontier basins are sought after once the price goes higher. People are more willing to throw down darts when the incentive is there, says research analyst James Schofield. And I'm sure they're deadly keen. After all, ExxonMobil has been in negotiations with one of our South Island mayors, Tim Shadbolt, who's a very violent dude, apparently, in his youth. I've hung out with his son a bit. And, he managed to, and I'm not 100% sure on the statistics on this, but with oil the barrel price that it is now, he managed to squeeze New Zealand's commission on our oil through ExxonMobil to 4.2 cents a barrel. All right? It's $100 a barrel. New Zealand gets 4.2 cents a barrel for each barrel that they take out of the ground. Isn't that freaking amazing? What a good deal. All we have to do is sell our oil rights to a foreign company. Brilliant. How mantastic is that? And New Zealand's supportive political environment meant the country is a sweet pot for exploration. Now, by supportive political environment, they mean National Party, who will basically get down on their knees and open their mouths wide to whatever foreign corporations or foreign powers want from us. You know, we are a fabulous little cash cow nation, aren't we, New Zealand? Yep. We just love bending over and taking it, and we love watching all our stuff get taken off us. We love especially not standing up for our human rights, civil rights, and whatever other rights that we reckon we should have. Because let's face facts here. Whenever there's a protest going on, it's short-lived, small, and ignored. Period. Nothing is listened to in this country. Nobody cares because they're all doped up on fluoride. And of course, if you try to tell them that fluoride dopes them up, they say, oh, you'll be talking about reptilian alien next. It's like, right, fluoride and reptilian aliens, they're obviously related. I can see the causal link there. Oh, I love getting demonized because we're such great material. And there's no political risk whatsoever. They see it as being a very benign environment. Most of these other places have security risks, whereas New Zealand's untested in terms of large oil finds. So geologically, it's got a lot of risk, but the political environment helps you to overcome that. Schofield, a New Zealander, has worked for Merrill Lynch for 4 years, said the royalty regime in this country was attractive. Yeah, that's right, because you can royally screw every New Zealander over. People believe that if you find stuff, the government won't try and screw them over with an unfriendly tax arrangement. Only if you're a citizen. Houston deepwater drilling specialist Anna Darko and Origin Energy are due to start work off the Canterbury coast next year with Brazilian state-owned company Petrobras, and has rights to explore off the East Cape of the Bay of Plenty area. The oil and gas industry is estimated to contribute nearly $3 billion to gross domestic product, and the government is formulating a petroleum action plan to encourage more drilling. In the year to June, it collected nearly $400 million in royalties. And I find that very ironic. Really. Because this is the same government that passed the emissions trading scheme, which puts an extra 5 cents a litre on your petrol, probably more than that, because what the oil companies are now realizing, or in fact they've known this from the start because they're the ones pushing climate change legislation, they've figured out that they can actually charge people more and make more profit and use the emissions trading scheme as an excuse. And the precise same thing is true of the electricity companies. You give them a call and you ask them, how much extra is my bill going to be? And they say, oh, well, it's approximately 5%. Approximately? You mean the government tells you to do something in an approximate fashion, as opposed to here's the dotted line, sign on it, and if you don't abide by it, we'll rape your country into the ground? Yep. That's basically what this game is here. Corporations lobby the government so that the government will pass draconian legislation so that the corporations can charge you more than they ever could before, only if they give like a tiny little skim off the top back to the government who they forced to pass the legislation in the first place. All right, it's as simple as that. One step, two step, three step. And don't under any circumstances try and debunk this, because it's pretty straightforward. I mean, everybody knows that the government and business have been in bed together our entire lives. Okay? It used to be secret, but now it's a lot more open. You can see the corruption after you can smell it. And the stink has gotten so odious, so overt, that every nation's people on earth that is suffering under the New World Order auspices of unity and government control and whatnot are so sick and tired that they can't even be bothered getting out of bed in the morning to go to a protest or to write a letter to their congressman or to our fabulous Prime Minister. And there's a good reason for that too. Because if you go out and protest, you get ignored. If you write a letter to your congressman or whatever, you get ignored. This is the way they play it. I would consider that doing things like having a radio show or doing videos like I do is far more effective, because rather than getting a government official to listen, which is nary on impossible, you only have a look at the population, because the population's really where all the power is, okay? If they all know something is a lie, they won't be able to stand for it. That's what my goal is. But however, the effectiveness of just one person is extremely minute by comparison to the power of the state that is nexused in with the corporations. So how can we actually do something, all right? As an individual, as a person, the only responsibilities you really have are to yourself. And ironically enough, that's all you really need to do in order to start screwing over your government and the evil corporations that just love manipulating you. You know, start throwing out all that Monsanto products and whatnot. Don't drink any of those flavored Cokes or whatever. You know, I've got a pH 10 bottle. I think 14 is the highest pH or whatever. Cancer and whole lots of diseases can't survive in an alkaline environment, so that's why I drink it. And some more delivered tomorrow for my birthday. You got to have a look at what's on the side of this bottle. It shows you where the other pH levels are. pH 1 is battery acid. pH 2 is Coca-Cola. Oh, the corrosion. That's why Coca-Cola is the best rust remover you will ever find. No kidding. You got a rusty tool or whatever? Get a bottle of Coke and sit that rusty tool in a puddle of it. That rust will be gone quicker than you can say Fat Sam. I kid you not. And they want you to drink this stuff. So get this. If personal responsibility is the way to boycott collectivism, and I'm not a collectivist by any means. I used to kind of think that it might be a good idea. Well, you know, everybody's going to sacrifice for everybody else. And it's just like, well, hold on a second. Who are the people that are doing all the sacrificing, and who are the people who are receiving all the benefits? It seems to be that, to me, that collectivism, all the people have to sacrifice an awful lot, and the elite wind up getting all the cream in the crop. So what's the difference between that system and the system we've got now? It is no different. We're already living under collectivism. Wake up. Stop eating poison. Stop donating to political parties that lie to you. All you've got to do in order to make the system hurt is to stop supporting it. Okay? You don't have to do anything extra. You just have to stop doing certain things. And you... be amazed how much better you feel about it. You get out of bed in the morning, bright-eyed, bushy tails. You know what? I'm going to mess with the government today. And you rub your mitts together with all the glee that you possibly could. Oh, I love messing with the government. It makes me feel so happy. And it seriously does. It becomes the entire reason for getting out. You know, it's like Fight Club. My club became the reason why you would cut your hair or trim your fingernails. Messing with the government is the reason why I get up in the morning and shave. You know? Got to mess with the government. Got to screw with them while you look like them. Because otherwise, they'll detect you instantly. You know, if I was to walk up to a, I don't know, John Key dressed up in camouflage and with a big full-on hippie beard, reeking like marijuana or whatever, he wouldn't listen to me. But because I dress up like a silver-spooned scumbag, he thinks I'm one of them. And that's exactly what me and Will did when we went to ambush Helen Clark. You know, we dressed up like we were, you know, scum, basically. And we fit right in. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Without Will, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 402-237-2525 is the number to ring. We'll be right back. Please don't desert me. Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust. And we're back. Live from the future, and the future... looks moist. We've had a fabulous, enormous wet weather system raging through the country following a period of drought. And it seems to me that whenever the news reports on weather, it's either telling you what the next day is or telling you that it's some description of crisis. Yep, that's basically the rule of thumb. Whether or not, it's a crisis. I didn't really think to myself when the aftershock, and for those of you who don't know, Christchurch had a big aftershock very recently. I think it was on Boxing Day. And one hit, 3 months of economic recovery have been wiped out. Say, central Christchurch retailers affected by the Boxing Day aftershock. Magnitude 4.9 earthquake at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday knocked out power, damaged walls, broke sprinkler pipes, and forced shops in the central city mall to close on their biggest sale day of the year. It was the largest of more than 14 aftershocks throughout the day. Sports equipment store Frontrunner opened for just 20 minutes before the earthquake hit. "It pisses you off," said owner Laurie Blythe. "We had a really poor September, October and November. December was just coming back to a semblance of making some sense." And when the aftershock business had returned to the gloom of September, when a 7.1 earthquake devastated the city and shoppers changed their habits to avoid the CBD, the aftershock had undone 3 months of work, Mr. Blythe said. And I've been telling since around about October that if you're living in Christchurch, go find another place to live, okay? Because sooner or later, the economic hardship in that particular city is going to be so bad that you won't be able to find a job anywhere for love or money. Okay? Get out of Christchurch. I told my sister this, and she said, no, it's fine, you know, the earthquakes are just slightly annoying. Well, economics trumps annoyance a lot of the time for some people. And it's relatively difficult to see anybody having a secure economic future in this area. A1, because liquefaction has screwed up an entire suburb or two. Goodness knows what's going to happen to all the houses there. Maybe they'll have to rebuild a couple of suburbs. I don't know. Imagine the cost involved with that. The government has a huge budget, though. A massive, fabulous earthquake commission fund, just bloated with billions of dollars. Not cash, mind you. It's all assets. Mostly assets that were bought overseas, like forestry and such like that. So they'd have to liquidate all of them in order to bail everybody out, which is why I recommend people get out of Christchurch while they still can, before the economic collapse gets worse than the earthquake collapses of buildings there. You know what I'm saying? Probably a bright idea, but that's just me speaking, okay? I'm not a surveyor, I'm not a contractor, so I don't have any economic interest in telling you this. Now, according to this article, Frontrunner, the running shoe specialists, reopened yesterday, but 98% of the customers have been tourists and sales were half what they should be. Locals aren't shopping and they've decided not to bother. Really, really interesting, right? Government issues a decree that you shouldn't go anywhere near the CBD, and then like magic, the CBD economies collapse. Who would have thunk it? I saw that coming a while ago. But nobody listened to me. No. Vinny, that's just crazy talk. People not buying stuff won't lead to any type of economic strife. the stupidity. It doesn't make any sense to me, really, that people won't listen to me. But hey, that's their choice. You know, if somebody doesn't want to listen to me, that's cool. As long as they just don't call me a conspiracy theorist and try and insult me and say that I'm a snake oil salesman of some description, as has happened before. You know? People don't have any idea of freedom of speech in this country, do they? You know? And when I say this country, I mean yours too. Whichever country you're in, there's nothing. You know? And check this out. More censorship. Oh, well, I wouldn't say censorship, but it's certainly police statiness whatsoever. In the technology section, police are now looking for new speed cameras. They're setting a new trap for speeding drivers who slam on their brakes at the last minute for roadside speed cameras. Police Roading National Manager Superintendent Paula Rose, who looks about as butch as can be, confirmed police were investigating setting up point-to-point cameras, which record the time a car takes to travel between two points on the open road. The system calculates if the average speed is higher than the speed limit, and if so, the driver is issued with a fine. The benefit would be that they measure distance over time, and slow drivers down over long distances would be a good deterrent, Rose said. And of course, this isn't going to deter a whole bunch of people. It's just going to make an extra lot of revenue for the police departments. But they won't receive the bulk of the revenue. It'll be the manufacturers of said technology. So get this. The police, who we pay to keep us safe, get a law passed under our ex-mayor and at the time, Police Commissioner John Banks, that they have to be a self-funded organization. The amount of tickets handed out directly after that start to skyrocket. Now, I don't want to be cynical, but I would suggest that getting people to pay police to get them to pay a technology company to get the people to pay the police again sounds like rational economic planning to me. And of course, speed cameras record the license plates of cars traveling as well. So that if you travel, say, a distance from one city to another, and you wind up coming across a speed camera in Auckland, cross-reference with one in, say, Hamilton, about 100 or 150 kilometre journey, and they calculate that you had to have sped from point A to point B, they give you a fine. Does this sound like draconian crapola to you? It certainly does to me, and I'm really not keen. You know, sorry. Sometimes I just get so angry that all the words kind of come together at once with a low guttural tone. Now, for example, if a car travelled a journey in less than 36 minutes, the driver could be fined for breaking the 100 kilometres an hour speed limit. And the police commissioner said it's a type of vehicle surveillance technology that is emerging worldwide. And I can bet you, well, this is my suspicion, my conspiracy theory, of course, that this is going to wind up being something that they'll use for carbon taxes. You know? Track driving by the mile. Make sure you pay your carbon taxes, please. We won't be able to fund police to come and arrest you if you don't. You know, and why does technological advance always have to be for the police state? Why can't there be a technological advance like, for example, water-fueled cars, which we've got, which keep getting suppressed, of course, by the oil companies who want to maintain a monopolistic control over our energy usage, and who fund things like carbon change emission schemes and things of that nature to give the government a big carrot dangling in front of it as they hold it over a pit to watch everything my grandfather and my father worked for. And so that me, my brothers and sisters, and everybody else in this country will just be basically economic cattle. You know, that's all they want, really. Just a fabulous little slave society who, instead of getting up and saying something or doing anything, will just sit there, quietly sucking their thumbs with their heads in the sand as everything else collapses around them like a sandcastle with the tide coming in. Now, of course, the justification for these new security camera measures, saying that they'll possibly reduce the amount of fatal crashes. Now, I'd wonder why that's such an important thing when the Ministry of Health is the third leading cause of death in this country and kills three times as many people as the road toll does. You don't ever see a news story about how doctors are killing their patients left, right, and centre on the news. But every single time there's a single crash where a mother or a child has been injured, They have their news crews, their lickety-split, they fly them in or whatever, and it makes the evening news. A single person who was speeding and wasn't wearing their seatbelt died today, and I say, well, why is this news? This isn't news. It isn't. Okay? It isn't, it isn't, it isn't. Shush. You're a moron. You're being paid to look pretty in front of a camera and rattle off some crapola that the police told you. And of course, you don't have a choice about which stories you cover because the producers at the news story studio dictate precisely what you're allowed to cover. And I've got a great example of this that happened to me. I was kicked out of the Auckland City Council meeting, public meeting, for filming. I was just sitting there quietly filming. They told me to turn the camera off. I said, no, I'm allowed to film in a public meeting. It's the law. And they say, no, it's not the standard rules that we operate here. And I say, well, the standard rules aren't the law, ma'am. We have laws in this country to protect people and freedom of speech and being able to film any public meeting. Did she give an F about that? No. She's got a couple of thugs to throw me out. I went to the news studio with this footage. They talked to the producers and they said, oh, nah, sorry, we can't slot it in. I say, oh, well, that's what I expected. And then a couple of weeks later, I filmed a fire that was happening in the central city. Called up the news studio, told them that I had this footage of a fire, and they went, really? Were there flames? Oh, God. Oh, it's so vacuous, so infantile, so pathetic. No wonder I started making my own news. You know, these people are bloody wastes of space. Surprised they haven't just toffed themselves. You know? Oh, I'm so pathetic. I'm so useless. I can't think. All this gel in my hair with all the aluminium's making its way into my brain. I best put on some more deodorant with the aluminium to balance it out. Oh, no. I'm starting to feel a little bit upset because I did too much cocaine last night. I better take a Prozac to help me do it. Oh, no, the Prozac's making me suicidal. I best go to work and shoot up the place. Oh, but that'll never happen. They're too much like justice. Oh, in fact, now I'm not encouraging newscasters to go in and, you know, shoot the producers or anything like that. Yeah, just put a sign on the back that says kick me. We'll be right back, folks.
We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tino Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our...
It's pretty absurd! They print a handy bucket. Commercial slavery, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I don't want you to think that you're slaves. I want you to think that you're free so that we can enslave you more. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, who's been kind enough to grace us with his presence. How was your Christmas, mate?
Not too bad. You know, pretty quiet. And just had a good time with a few friends. Limited family exposure, but no, it's been good.
Oh, well, that's good that you have limited family exposure. Don't want you getting SARS. Now, We had some news break over the Christmas period about the Wall Street Pentagon Papers, biggest scam in world history exposed, and are the Federal Reserve's crimes too big to comprehend? Seems about right to me. I mean, Wall Street's been the biggest criminal gangster-licious organization since I've ever been alive. And by all accounts, they're just going to get even more criminal, right? Now, supposedly many crimes of Wall Street go unreported, but the level of fraud from top to bottom has been staggering. Lack of accountability, complete disregard for the rule of law. Basically, they make everybody pretty cynical and jaded when it comes to new evidence to pile on top of the mountain that's already been gathered. But, of course, let's have a look at actual details. And just when you think the banksters couldn't possibly shock you anymore, they did. Finally, granted the honor and privilege of finding out the specifics, a limited one-time Federal Reserve view of a secret taxpayer-funded backdoor bailout, in quotation marks, by a small group of unelected bankers. This data release reveals emergency lending programs that doled out, wait for it, $12.3 trillion in taxpayer money, $3.3 trillion in liquidity, $9 trillion in quote unquote other financial arrangements. It makes the $700 billion bailout look like that somebody was taking a WikiLeaks into the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, and of course, that $700 billion bailout ended up being around $24 trillion.
Mm-hmm. So goodness knows what the $12.3 trillion wound up. I mean, it was probably wound up being $100 trillion. And they probably bought up a whole bunch of real assets with all that fake money that they made up out of thin effing air and then deprived everybody of their homes and property and are just sitting back on their plantations.
This coincides with a record Defense Department budget being announced. And also record Black Ops budget surpassing the $50 billion budget of that was prescribed at the end of 2009. So, dark days ahead, guaranteed. I mean, when you get to the pinnacle of government spending and there's huge Black Ops budgets, doesn't that tell you something about your government?
Well, I would tell you something if anybody wasn't dumbed down on fluoride and aspartame to look up and see it, you know. It's like chemtrails. They're friggin' everywhere. Everybody can see them, but they don't see them.
It's perspective, Vinny. It's perception. It's mm-hmm. And this is what we're up against. I found time and time again, and you know, humans do have different perspectives on things. I'm glad about that. I'm glad we're not all looking at the same thing from the same angle. But then there are universals, and then there are facts. Just because the media lies doesn't mean they lie about everything. And so there are facts to be found by being a news hound, and there are some things we should all be able to agree on. But then I think a good form of cognitive dissonance is we say, well, nothing can be trusted, therefore nothing can be relied, therefore we can't. How do I know where Vinny and Will get their facts from, and how can they trust those facts? So that, I think that's why our message doesn't get through to a lot of people, Vinny. It's because people will just say, hey, that's your perception.
Yeah. I was talking to, Omar, right? I was talking to him about how WikiLeaks is a Mossad operation. And he goes, oh, how do you know that? And I say, well, ultimately, I don't really. Gordon Duff from Veterans Today, who has a staff of nothing, pretty much nothing but ex-military intelligence people, who has lots of experience in the international banking industry and works for the UN and has diplomatic immunity, told me. I would think that would be a credible source, but no, not enough.
But does Omar even accept that 9/11 was a false flag operation?
Expect not. And in fact, he told me that pharmaceutical drugs cure heaps of conditions. And I said, really? Name one. He couldn't.
Would he even be interested in WikiLeaks' information? I think WikiLeaks would be too much for him.
Yeah, well, as long as it's pushed by mainstream media, I'm sure it's universally accepted.
Just like climate change, he buys into that scam.
Oh, yeah. It's the thing about
that's not perception, is it?
Yeah.
They don't argue the perception one when it comes to that stuff, do they?
Mm-hmm. And it's like this false anti-establishment mantra, right? And I started talking about fluoride because the subject of Stalin came up, and I talked about how the fluoride was put into the gulags and all that kind of stuff. I was basically trying to allude to the fact that all these people devoting themselves to communism are basically devoting themselves to historically proven fact to be dictatorial scumbags who just basically exterminate heaps of people and install ruthless police states. And after I mentioned this about the fluoride, one of them said, "Oh, you're going to be talking about reptilian aliens next, and I'm not going to listen to you because the only things that you're talking about are facts that you've memorized."
Well, they brand it conspiracy stuff rather than reality stuff. And that's say that they go, that's the problem with the conspiracy world of things. Hey, it's the real world. But they can't define the real world because it's all perception-based.
That's right. When nothing is defined but by a single human's perception, then there is no reality save the one that you dictate to yourself.
Selfishness.
You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, and Rush 89 FM in Hamilton, New Zealand. We'll be right back, folks. Baby, united we stand and divided we fall. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. I'd like to give a big shout out to all the listeners because you're just so awesome, frankly. And me and Will, we do have lots of debates and conversations with many people in our countries, you know, with our friends, our family, and even people we don't know. And people on YouTube are famous for this. the kind of aggressive, assumption-based, opinionated quackers just basically sit back, comment on stuff, and say how it's not real.
Yep.
You know, you say 9/11 is an inside job, and they say, no, it isn't. Absolutely not, because I saw planes go into the buildings. And you say, well, okay, when was the last time you actually had a barbecue, mate? Did the grill melt? Did the barbecue explode into nano-sized, atomized particles?
Here's the thing, Vinny. I mean, I can remember going to a little public meeting here in Auckland, New Zealand, with Nikki Hager, who's a prominent activist over here. And there was a row of the unmentionable communist group that you're referring to before the break in front of me. And I said to Nikki, you know, what do you think about 9/11 being an inside job? And one of the unmentionable group turned around and said to me, well, New Zealand's actually most famous activist from the Springbok tour, said to me, no, it wasn't, you crazy nutcase, you know, sort of conspiracy theorist. The government let it happen. And so then people argued LIHOP, let it happen on purpose versus made it happen on purpose. And so some passive observers will say, well, it's the same thing. If they let it happen, made it happen, same thing. Well, no, it's not. Because you can't let the Arabs fly planes into buildings and then have those buildings come down, because the buildings would not have come down if you just let them do that. They didn't say, the official story isn't that they let Arabs fly planes into buildings and put explosive charges of military grade all through them including Building 7, which they didn't even fly a plane into. That's, so you can't let Building 7 fall down. They had to make it happen. LIHOP is even more ridiculous than the official government story, the official conspiracy theory. LIHOP is ridiculous. LIHOP is the middle of the road, the last place you want to be. And that's where a lot of these commies are and stuff. That's where a lot of the left are. Oh, they just let it happen because they can't conceive that there's people evil enough and strategically advanced enough to contrive such world events, because then they'd have to start looking at their own worldviews. So there's a big difference. People say, don't split the movement. Don't argue LIHOP versus MIHOP. LIHOP guys aren't in the movement, guys. LIHOP guys are in an accidental world movement.
That's right.
Made it happen on purpose, guys. Understand that things are engineered. That's a totally different paradigm. Thinking everything's accidental and it's just falling like raindrops randomly is a totally different paradigm to someone who understands that there's organization and design behind the financial world, the political terrorism world, everything.
That's right. You're listening to the Perception Busting Show. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we'll be right back after the short break with more of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Whose side are you back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Yes, we're back live from the future, from the fabulous fortress, fluoride head, moist colony of New Zealand. Now, Will, you're talking about this video that you saw on YouTube about this guy who's with a crossbow, is it? Tell the audience about it, man, because I thought that was bloody interesting.
Well, a guy is using a crossbow in his backyard in some sort of urban environment, obviously not a wealthy family. And a neighbor or, you know, some government snitch, you know, has observed and reported to the proper authorities. And he went inside and put his crossbow away, according to his wife. And then he went back outside to do something, and police officers turned up and asked him for ID. And this guy is a patriot, obviously. He's got as I observed in the video, they have a "Don't Tread on Me" flag inside their house. So they're probably conspiracy theorists, you know, bad guys. And they asked him for ID, and he refused to give them ID because he's on his own property. And police say, we've got to know who we're talking to. You can't just say, hey, sir, what were you doing with a crossbow? They've got to go through this procedure because they're process-driven scum, basically. But anyway, they asked him for ID. He refused to give an ID. A scuffle ensues, and the video on YouTube, two-part video, picks up where he's being slammed to the ground in his front porch by two or three officers. He gets in a bit of a scuffle with them. About 12 cop cars, as I counted, pull up. Fire brigade, fire trucks there also in the background. And totally over the top. So sheriff turns up anyway, and after they drag this woman's husband away, she goes out the front of her house to ask them, you know, what's going on, what's he being charged with, and they play dumb, and they run her around, and they're using psych warfare on her to try and draw her out of her house, asking if she's got a child because her 4-year-old daughter's crying in the background, and basically trying to persuade her to leave her property where she doesn't have the same rights, where they'll have her arrested or something. But she's aware of this, and she's trying to hold her own against the police. And then they say, well, we're going to come and have to have a look inside because we believe he's hidden paraphernalia inside the house. And she said, well, everything occurred outside the house, and there's already cops taking photos of her backyard and everything. And then they say, well, we can't search your house without a warrant, but we can seize your house right now, and that's what we'll be doing immediately. And she says, what? You're going to? They said, have you got family to stay with or something? And she says, no. They're like, we're going to seize your property now. The judge can deal with the search warrant side of things. So what role does the judge have in issuing a warrant? What does it even matter when the police can seize your house on the spot there? For the purposes of the investigation, ma'am. It's also slick. And you can see how process-driven people can see there's nothing wrong with it.
And then you'll have people defending the cops, saying, oh, well, they broke the law, you know, serves them right and all of that.
Well, you didn't have just that, bro. You didn't just have that. I found it because Alex Jones put it up on his Facebook account. And then you had people commenting, saying, I'm out of this. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm not in the truth movement anymore. This is nuts. You conspiracy theorists have got to realize he broke the law. No, he didn't. He broke a city bylaw, which could have been dealt with in a totally different way by the police. But the city bylaw doesn't surpass the Second Amendment.
Yes, it does.
And he was in his backyard using a weapon. He wasn't using a weapon on anyone. And so for an offence to be made, harm has to be caused to a third party. He didn't cause harm to any third party until they escalated it and they claimed that he bloodied a police officer's nose. Who knows what really happened? But they claim he bloodied a police officer's nose. So they escalated the scenario by way of their process-driven approach technique. And then you got these slaves defending it because it's much easier just to defend authority than just to question it, isn't it? It's much easier just to be an unthinking slave and let the government do all your thinking for you than it is to actually look at a situation and go, hey, they were on their private property, they were minding their own business, they didn't cause harm to anyone, and now the guy's in jail and his wife and kid have been kicked out of their home and their home has been seized temporarily by the local police force.
And I bet you that child's going to go into CPS custody as well and get passed around the local pedophile ring like a bag of Oreos.
Because they'll seize the house and they'll find, oh, they've got 9/11 DVDs. Oh, they've got a flag, don't tread on me, Gadsden flag. I mean, oh, that, you know, they're baddies. They shouldn't be able to raise their own kid.
Oh, they believe in the Constitution. They believe in the Bill of Rights. They believe in not having a effing tyrannical government. We'll soon see to that.
That's what these cops are like. The sergeant who turns up he looks like an FBI agent to me, and just the way he's talking to her, and it's so manipulative, and people watch it. Hundreds of people watch that video just on Facebook on that one link, and there were over 230 comments, and a lot of people are sticking up for the police, and I just cannot believe it. I cannot believe the process-driven nature of people, that they're overriding human nature with a programmed nature of what is due process.
Yeah, we've all been socialized into this ridiculous system where nobody thinks anything but if the police do it, it must be right, and if any normal human being does it, it must be wrong. Therefore, the police can do whatever they like, you know?
And, well, it's not even the police, bro. It's any corporation. That's not our policy, sir. You know, and the amount of times I've heard that. And this is why I'm dealing with it here. And you just got to, like, shake them out of their conditioning sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, what they are, they're just trained enforcement officers of the status quo. Whatever the heck is going on that's awful, it's their job to ensure that it keeps continuing, okay? That's the length and breadth of these people's work life, okay? To make sure that everything that's been happening keeps on happening as it has always been going on, unbeknownst to this person, whatever, thinking that they're doing a good job, that they're actually helping to play a part in the enslavement and ruthless dumbing down of humanity.
See, I'm an extremist because I believe that society could operate by educated and informed human interaction and human nature. But the system would tell us that human nature is flawed, that there are too many gray areas, that you know, that you can't say hi to that woman down the street, that you've got to approach everyone as a civilian. And you should see that, you should listen to the way the cops are talking to this woman. Like, one cop's like, I haven't got time for you, wait for the sergeant. And she just keeps talking to him, and he's like, I'm disengaging from conversation now. I'm disengaging now.
That's like,
disengaging. I mean, look, this is what I mean. So these people really, really believe that society couldn't operate by our beautiful nature as human beings.
It's like Starfleet Commander or something like that, you know. They're like we're seriously living in a sci-fi parallel universe here. Reality shifted to the point where people don't even recognize what's logical or what's sane anymore, because they've been taught over and over again that what is completely nuts and out of this world is the complete rational thing to think and do.
And so, and technology's on the march, and the economy's in suffrage, and people's lives are being made more and more difficult from a variety of perspectives every day. And so what does it do? It just herds people more into the programmed line of thinking, because practically speaking, that's what they've got to do. That's the police officers are ordinary people. I feel sorry for a lot of them. A lot of them are just good guys. But they've handed over their own morality, because they do have morality, whether they know it or not, implanted in them. And they've handed that over to an authoritarian system because of the practical, because of the wanting respect from their peers, or, you know what I mean? They want respect from their peers because, if I'm going to go and have a family, how do I get respected? I've got to have a job, firstly, to impress that woman in the bar. If I get a job in uniform, that's really going to impress her.
So women love uniforms.
Exactly.
And, you know, speaking about the control paradigm, before Christmas, and I found this really funny, latest terror threat in US aimed to poison food is coming out of CBS News. And I thought to myself, hey, isn't that funny? The country with one of the world's most dangerous food supplies says that, oh, the food supply is a threat days before a season where people gorge themselves on copious amounts of toxic food.
Yeah.
You know, and they all get really afraid and stuff like that. And it's like, well, the chatter is getting pretty huge around here. I mean, they talk about like terrorist chatter and all that kind of stuff, right? But dig this. Real terrorists, you know, like Department of Homeland Security and Barack H. O'Barry and Dick Cheney and all of them, supposedly there's an awful lot of buzzwords coming up all over the place because they say, oh, Al-Qaeda's going to attack, you know, but all the signs are here, you know. Clearly desperate for public approval and budget justifications, governments recently made several bogus terror arrests of entrapped FBI patsies. And if anybody hasn't heard of this, was it FBI, and they do this all the time apparently, set up a terrorist organization, recruited people to do the terrorist operations, and then before that they did, they then arrest them and say, hey, we caught a terrorist, which we created.
Of course. The German elites have done this too. They set up white supremacist groups back in the 90s. Obviously, Hal Turner turned out to be an FBI agent. He was involved with a lot of the white supremacist groups in the United States, and the whole Elohim City set up where Timothy McVeigh visited was a government set up, and the Texas Klan back in, 1998, it was reported how the top 32 members were all FBI agents. And they didn't just infiltrate it. They were running the whole organization, and they were plotting terror attacks on minority groups, so-called minority groups. I mean, it's why when people say violence is the answer, you know, for all the feds who are listening, for the people that want to come and hassle me who are listening, government agencies, I mean, I will never, ever, ever call for violence if I get a platform. Got a small platform here, but I would never endorse violence as a solution for resistance against the system. Because what the first reason, well, it's wrong. The second reason you will never get a sustained change because the enemy will just join your side. You think you're just going to, like, Illuminati guys are made to wear ribbons or something? But thirdly, you're so easy to infiltrate. As soon as you start putting masks on, as soon as you start wanting to blow up buildings and all sorts of anarchist activity, you are so easy to infiltrate. You know, some genuine militant Islamic groups that do exist from time to time are just constantly infiltrated and run by government operatives. They get Arab guys, they get all sorts of, you know.
It's like Loren Murray said, you know, no terrorist organization can exist without the say-so of an intelligence organization. It's clear-cut, simple as that. Because if they don't want you to exist, they can shut you down easy as pie. No kidding.
I mean, people still believe. I mean, I bet who you were referring to earlier, Omar Ahmed, I bet you he still believes in the official lie that no one had ever preconceived the notion of flying jet aircraft into buildings pre 9/11. That's what Bush said. That's what Condoleezza Rice said. That's what Powell said. But then they were the same people who Rice was involved in the foiling of the Bonjica plot, and they knew all about that. Operation Bonjica in 1995, they had government agents on the inside of a terror plot. Who knows? They were probably running the terror plot to fly aircraft into prominent U.S. landmarks. It's exactly the same, you know. This is post-Operation Northwoods, of course, 1962. I mean, there are such things as staged government documents also. That's what the WikiLeaks mainstream crowd don't realize. The government often falsifies as lots of UFO documents, terror documents, in order to think that you're getting something declassified. So people say, how do you know Operation Northwoods wasn't one? Because Operation Northwoods involved a whole load of background information, such as Robert McNamara actually losing his position, such as Lionel Leemitzer, and what happened to his career path. I mean, so Operation Northwoods was a real event, a real situation, a real document, an actual government plan for 9/11 style attacks in 1962. But there are, going back to into the WikiLeaks scenario, there are a whole bunch of falsified government documents just to get people off their scent or to muddy the waters so that a bunch of nihilists say, oh, you can't trust anything, I'm just going to go back to sleep.
This is insane. And the holiday periods, for example, you know how disingenuous and what kind of an ass you have to be in order to start spreading fear during the holidays? Well, here's mainstream news, ABC News. Holiday terror warning cites car bombs and small arms attack. Yeah. Authorities worry about Christmas attack for quote-unquote psychological impact. And get this. The psychological impact of merely running the story is far more than any terrorist attack would wind up doing, because if any terrorist attack, even if actual terrorists do exist, which I'm not sure if I believe anymore, they wouldn't be able to do as much damage as the huge amount of propaganda and repetition that the media would put out after said attack, you know? And while terrorists will strike when and where they can, holiday periods supposedly are a particular window of vulnerability and are appealing targets of opportunity for terrorist attacks. Yeah, that's of course why they chose 9/11, right, as a way to attack. And that's of course why, obviously, the underwear bomber who was led on the plane by a well-dressed man and ushered through security and filmed the entire time on the flight by somebody with a freaking camera pointing at him, tried to attack on Christmas Day, you know? And this is the insanity, because people don't connect even one dot, not even two. They don't connect nothing. It's just like this random series of events. Oh, there's terrorist attacks. I've better be afraid. Oh, there's more terrorist attacks. I've better be really, really afraid. Oh, there's terrorist attacks. Oh, hold on a second. All three of them were actually done by the government. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, the dot connected this. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. What thrill! American Freedom Radio, at Rush89 FM in Hamilton, cruise to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com and check out our archive section. We'll be right back. Can you escape? Tyranny is universal, as CBS would have us believe, and ABC would want us to tell our friends. For example, a recent terrorist attack in Sweden, which police officers none of which got injured, of course, because the morning of that they were all ordered to stay away from the area where a so-called terrorist in Stockholm blew up a suicide belt, killing himself and wounding two bystanders. You know, the police know about these things ahead of time, almost always. Isn't that interesting? It's because they're the ones who freaking orchestrate these attacks, okay?
Is it more dangerous to organise something?
Well, have there been any actual real terrorist attacks in recent history? I mean, I don't think so. You know?
Well, I think real.
I mean, like,
I think if you get billions of people, and I think if you piss enough people off, there are going to be some elements out there who want to blow things up. Sure, of course. I mean, that's a given. I mean, I'm not saying that the New World Order is behind everything, but there is nothing that goes undetected. There is nothing that will go undetected. And they're all over our internet activity. They're all over me and you, Vinny, guaranteed. And if you try and do something, they will come down you like a ton of bricks, man. Or they'll try and set you up like they did Randy Weaver. They'll get someone to come over here to Waikiki and befriend me and say, do you want to, you know, saw the end of this gun off or something? I mean, yeah, look, we just can't be stupid about this. This is the whole point. I mean, the resistance against real tyranny requires intelligent and cognitive decision-making based upon discernment, which is based upon experience of learning about what's going on in the world. This is why facts matter. And a lot of people have got this gut feeling, like, I don't need it. I know in my gut the government's wrong. I know in my gut I'll be on your side. Don't worry, William. When it comes to, you know, 2015 and we've got a police state, I'll be on your side. What do you mean? It's too late. I mean, that's not the answer. The answer is you start resisting things in your own way little by little now. If there's a beer out on the shelf there, if there's two beers on the shelf, one's fluoridated, one's not, have the unfluoridated one. It's just little things like that. If there's MSG chips next to non-MSG chips on the shelf in the supermarket, buy the non-MSG ones. Tell the next person in the line there to throw their chips away. I mean, it's just little things like this is how we beat the system.
Yeah,
there are people in government who've got more brains and I identify more with than other people out there, normal people out there. That's the truth of it. There are people in government that I could probably agree with on a vast array of you know, social truths than a lot of my friends. That's why it's not the government's evil, we've got to fight them only. These Illuminati guys and disinfo agents are everywhere, and they're turning the public into their little pawns.
Yeah, and there are those who say that we're Illuminati-controlled agents and whatnot, as I've been accused of a couple of times, and I find that really amusing because it's by people that I've had on my show and done videos for to promote what they do, and so they call me an agent because I'm helping to promote the people who never, ever under any circumstances take any measure to promote themselves and their ideas because they're too humble, right?
Then you get people saying activists can't make money, and we don't even make money off the show. This has cost us the last 6 months. You know, this has cost – people don't know what goes on behind the scenes here. But then some activists have worked out a model to make money and build activist empires up and have a bigger effect and reach more people, in some cases reaching tens or hundreds of millions of people. Now, then some passive observers sit back and say, that guy got a big house or that guy got a car? There you go. He's no Malcolm X. They're no Malcolm X. They're making money off universal truths. Well, what's wrong with making money off universal truths when everyone else is making money off universal freaking lies? When every lawyer out there, when every accountant out there, when every banker out there, where every, I mean, we could take it pretty far here. We could say every employer of every multinational corporation out there is making money off universal freaking lies. Why don't judge them? Where's the judgment on them? What have those punks ever done for people?
Oh, yeah, man. Well, look at it this way. If you're scum, okay, you generally float to the top because you will screw over everybody that stands in your way. This is the incorrect way to go about competition. Competition is about self-improvement, not destroying your competition, okay? Because then it becomes monopolism,
and then
which
to
is
say
good
activists
for nobody.
Join, and then say people join activist movements like the 9/11 truth movement, the most hated of all activist groups on planet Earth today. I mean, 9/11 truthers know this. You're over the mark. If you get on YouTube or something, you're over the mark. You get more hate than gay activists and their pathetic cause and animal rights activists and climate change activists. You get hate from all fields. You get called a cult member. You get called, I mean, so people, but you think people do that for fame and money? There are other ways to make money. If you've got $1 million, why do you need to be in the truth movement to make money? I mean, people have no brains today. There are bankers walking down the street anonymously in $5,000 suits making $50,000 a week easy. And they don't have to put their face out there. They don't have to have death threats. They don't have to be hated. They can be socialite scum and loved by everyone. And they get it easy in this world. And I tell you what, all the people on the street, they got nothing to say about them.
That's right. I mean,
they're not Illuminati agents.
You don't need to be famous in the eyes of the public in order to have great effect. Like, I can guarantee you that 99% of the public has never heard of Evelyn Rothschild and is probably one of the most powerful people on Earth, okay? Far more powerful than Barack H. O'Berry.
They wouldn't recognize them if you walked past.
Yeah. I mean, it's because these people that have the huge amount of power don't like their faces on every billboard. They're not the front people. They're the ones behind the scenes that are holding all the keys to all the doors that lock you away in a prison of whether it be mental or physical capacity.
But Vinny, he doesn't have real power. I mean, I think Tom Cruise is more powerful because, you know, more people see Tom and, you know, he's got a bigger public standing than Evelyn Rothschild. I don't think you're right about Evelyn Rothschild. How do you know he's so powerful?
All right, here's an example. Whoa. Let me just stop you here. This is out of the Associated Press. Obama tops most admired list. Again, for the third straight year, President Barack H. O'Berry ranks as the man most admired by people living in the U.S. according to an annual USA Today Gallup poll.
And they didn't frame the debate in any way. They didn't frame the poll in any way by giving people choices, and those choices would have been controlled.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And Madam Clinton was the most admired woman for the ninth year in a row, edging out former Governor Sarah Palin and TV host Oprah Winfrey, as she did last year.
I mean, Vinny, here's the argument, though. Some people say, sure, I can see through that, guys. I can see through that, but that doesn't mean 9/11 is an inside job. And so we've got common ground. Like, some of these communist activists we've been talking about can see through certain layers of propaganda. They can see through, you know, political figureheads and puppets like Barack Obama, who are just shills for what that would say is international capitalism, but it's not really. It's something a bit bigger than that. But people would say, passive observers would say, well, why not just join up with those guys? Why not just agree with those guys? But here's the problem, is when the ultimate truths aren't agreed upon. When the ultimate direction of a movement or just of an individual's own mind is not in the same paradigm as another activist, you're going to have problems. If you can't agree on the basic framework, this is why we're having a truth movement, because we agree on the basic framework that the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome, the Committee of 300, you know, certain secret societies, Bohemian Grove Club,
Trilateral Commission
founded by Zbigniew Brzezinski in 1973 on behalf of David Rockefeller. I mean, we agree that all these groups have the most inordinate, visible, documented, provable influence on world events. Just world events, full stop. And this is what makes us a truth movement. This is why it's not infighting for me to fight with a communist activist or an environmental activist, because they think that America is the root of all evil. They're like, all of America's stuffed. I mean, you got no idea. I mean,
they deserve it, you know.
It's just I mean, look what they did in South America. Look what they did to their own people. Sure. Sure they did. You can't say the Constitution's good. Look what they did to Native Americans. That makes the Constitution invalid. It's an idea. It's an idea, not an application. You know, like Benjamin Franklin was a member of the Hellfire Club. When I say I like the Founding Fathers, am I saying I like the Hellfire Club? No. I hate them. People can't get concepts, general concepts and ideas. If you have a document that says powers flow, this is the order of powers on planet Earth, the Creator, you can't even say that without causing a war, the Creator, people, government, and then all their institutions, that disempowers tyranny. Because right now, if you take away a creator and you create an atheist nihilist society, then government can put itself above people. And that's exactly what they've done. That's why they go and knock on the house of that individual on Boxing Day and say, you know, and say, we're going to seize your house because your husband was firing a crossbow in his backyard. That's why they can do that, because they have implanted them, they've surpassed people and put themselves where the Creator was under the model of the Founding Fathers.
Like, they created the frickin' world, you know. And this is the difficulty that I have with these communists. And I will be straight out and say that I hang out with these people. I actually enjoy some of the conversations we have. I don't hate them. And I think that they're doing, in many ways, very, very good jobs in terms of activists here in New Zealand. That, be that as it may, I've done also a lot of work for these people, you know, made plenty of videos for free and, you know, supported them and some of the things that they do. But ultimately, what I really fear is what historically communists do. They wind up exterminating their political opponents. And if I was to do a critical analysis of myself, my worldview versus their worldview, they would have me exterminated if they were to ever get power. That is what really, really concerns me, is that they would actually kill people that help them because they have political ideas that are different to their own. And that's the real problem here. We have a world where people will destroy each other just so that they can be stronger. It doesn't make a difference whether or not you are a socialist, a fascist, a capitalist, or whatever ist or ism that you choose to follow. The basic premise behind the power structures of any of these political ideals is to destroy their opponents rather than to build their own base.
Okay? Well, this is it, Vinny. And they would argue the same for us, though. They would say, well, if you 9/11 conspirators got in power, you would have us all killed and all this sort of stuff. No, I want a world that's decentralized enough where a nuclear family can govern themselves. I want decentralized power, decentralized government, decentralized corporations, whereby strong men can't dominate the weak, whereby the weak are defended upon their own being in accord, and so that if someone wants to be a communist in their own house, it's got nothing to do with my conservative libertarian ideals, and therefore I do not encroach upon them and they do not encroach upon me, and we can exist and we can have community gardens together and we can do what needs to be done on some level of existence, but then the higher levels of truth remain independent from a necessary agreement. But in today's world, it's been integrated to where we all have to agree with government as God. They can kick down our doors if they see fit, and they can come here after the radio show today and have their way with me, you know, because that's what we've empowered.
Yeah, it's totally true, isn't it, Will? And get this, I think that the media itself is really one of the things that needs to be decentralized, okay? During, what was it, America went from something along the lines of 180 media companies down to 4, okay? And people wonder why everyone else is so dumb and talking about the exact same talking points that they hear on the news, because it's all the freaking same. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. And welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Yeah. All right, we're jamming. Jamming in the name of goodness knows what. You know what? I don't know what I'm serving, and I was told the other night that what I was doing here by talking about these issues and bringing on Kiwi activists and activists from America and that kind of thing and trying to give them a platform to speak from was that I was doing God's work. And I thought to myself, well, whatever. I just like doing it because it's fun. And I get to meet a whole bunch of really interesting people, talk about really interesting stuff. And so I've discovered that at my base root, I'm actually really selfish.
Commies didn't tell you that, Vinny.
Yeah. But I'm so selfless. I'm so selfless, right, that it turns around and goes full circle so that I realize that in actual fact, I'm being selfless because I'm so selfish. And that's the basic premise of what we're talking about here on this show a lot of the time. And, you know, if you want to call in from the show from time to time, go ahead. And, you know, we'll talk about whatever the heck you want to talk about, because after all, everything in my life that's been good to me has usually been just straight up given to me, you know. It's not as though I didn't earn them or anything like that. It's more the fact that I didn't have to work ridiculously hard in order to get any of the best things in my life. It's usually just been an opportunity that's been offered to me. And speaking of which, we actually have a caller on the line here, area code 208403, I believe. Caller, are you there on the line with us?
Yes, you guys are speaking truth.
Well, thank you.
I did watch.
And how are you
video.
Doing this Christmas season?
Oh, hey, I'm a little sad and a little encouraged. So I'm sad at the condition of the world then, but I'm excited for the change that's coming. Okay, there's going to be a change, and I don't think we can stop it.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are talking about of late, is that next year, 2011, is going to be one of the biggest years for activism and releasing of truth. And I'm quite looking forward to it, frankly, because let's face it, activism and truth is my bread and butter.
I'm thankful for that. I watched that video you were talking about, and all that you said, you know, was right on the money. One of the things that most alarmed me was when the officer and this lady entered her house on her porch. And they stood there, and the lady talked concerned, but quite alarmed, and they sarcastically said, "What? We just got here. We really don't know what happened." And they were being so sarcastic and demeaning to that lady. It really would have incited rage in me if I was in front of those policemen, and the lady there really held her own. It's amazing she could stay cold-headed.
And that's what I find is really, should I say inspiring about individuals sometimes, is that they have this strength that kind of is difficult to match, right? You know, and we see people standing up to police, we see people standing up for government, and often they don't have platforms. They're just individuals who are doing a standalone operation by themselves. And I was talking to Luke Radowski about this phenomenon, and we both agreed that, well, basically, the only thing you can really count on at the end is yourself, because the individuals are incredibly strong and not easily coerced if they don't want to be. It's like when you threaten people, they are less malleable. You know, they don't want to follow your orders if they're being threatened. But that's the problem with the government, is that they know this, is that a lot of the times when they do want to threaten you, they don't do it in an overt fashion. They just do it by raising your taxes or taking away your rights and liberties and things like this. So you don't really feel like you're under threat. You don't have that kind of fight or flight mechanism like you do when you're dealing with police.
Talking about taking from one and giving to another, I was thinking of applying this with the TSA and how they're checking people. They're actually taking your virtue, which is more precious to you, and giving it to someone else when they search you. They are taking what you have and giving it to the other people around you, saying, this person is secure, and supposed to be secure in his papers and his person. Yet they take that from you, and they give it to everyone else and say, look, I put my hand down his pants. I looked at him naked, and he has nothing to conceal, which is just so evil.
Yeah, totally. And the things that we've been talking about, this TSA instance, I mean, first of all, you get microwaved, basically, and you get melted down by radiation and pour you into a mold of some kind. And then, of course, there's the fact that you can be sterilized by them. And even worse, the operating systems that they've got these naked body pictures on are Windows, which are notoriously easy to hack. And they're connected to the internet, and they're uploading those naked pictures of you to Facebook, and a whole bunch of people who are ex-TSA workers have been caught selling these photos, like a bunch of pedophile scum that they are. And people don't understand or even hear about these facts, and they really should, because it does concern them and anybody who would wind up coming to see them these holidays.
Well, we've had a change in government.
It doesn't even solve one problem.
Oh. No, it doesn't. We've had a change in government, and if anyone could recognize it, they would become alarmed and become activists themselves. This change has been going on for quite a while, but the criminal element of government has taken over. They were hidden before because they weren't strong enough. But now they're strong enough to do whatever they please. And we're in a lot of trouble. People better wake up.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Caller, very much for joining us here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope that you have a fabulous New Year's Eve and whatnot. And let's hope that the government doesn't try to F with you. And also, last point, if there is a shift in the government towards brutal tyranny, it means that there's no reason for you to let them do anything. Thanks for listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.